Very good.
Okay, so if let's go to our Myrmecomus and finish off another case that we left in the air. Oh, maybe I sent you the wrong Myrmecomus. Hold on, let me see. I sent you last. That's last week's Myrmecomus.
Oh yeah, I think I put the wrong one. Hold on. Let
Okay.
me stop the share and see if I could find it. Hold on a minute.
I saw on the left tab there.
And, oh yes, yeah. Wow, good eyes. Wow. All right, let me go back to my screen share.
Okay, very good. So let's see, what have we got? We got this case, this last case we left in the air. What was that case? Let's repeat that case. Ruve, a big retailer. So he goes to the supply guys, and he says, look, give me stock. And look, I can't pay for the stock at the moment, but Mr. Shem, 2 or 3 days, I'll get a big loan. And with that loan money, I'm going to be able to pay for this stock. So he said, the sailor, no problem. Normal not to pay on delivery. Normal to have a stretched out payment plan. Fine, you said you're going to be able to pay with this loan, sailor. So he gave him the stock. And Ruvain, he went to get his loan, which he was promised. We already discussed that for the previous year about that issue of being promised. And he was denied. He was denied the loan. And now he can't pay. And so he goes back and says, you know what? I'm returning the stock. I can't pay. So the supplier says, you're acquired. You already took the stock. Done deal. Nothing to discuss. Nothing to discuss. You took the stock. So in Basedon, yeah, I took the stock. But I said specifically, where's the source of payment from a loan, which I'm going to get in 3 days? And it was denied. So therefore, it's like a Tanai that I'm only going to buy it if I have the ability to pay with this loan. Even though I didn't speak it out like a Tanai, but I spoke it, that's where the whole deal is able to be successful. Be able to keep my words is only through the loan. So it's obvious there's a condition over here, and therefore it doesn't get fulfilled, it should blow up. So we said, back to our Myrmecomus number one, we said, look, this is dependent on the famous Machlokas, which we discussed between Rabbeinu Chananu and Rabbeinu Yonah. Because of Rabbeinu Yonah, Lekeach you buy wine. He says, I'm buying this line. You know why I'm buying this line? Because I'm going to that place. I'm going to make lots of money because it's very expensive over there. And then, you know, that place, the price has plummeted and there's no point going over there. Even though there's implicit tonight that he's saying, I'm doing this also to go over there, still, the implicit tonight doesn't help when the buyer makes that implicit tonight. Our Rabbeinu Chananu argues, says, hey, whether it's implicit with the words of the mochel, the seller, or implicit tonight with the kach, it's considered tonight, blows up the deal, not a sale. So we say, look, this case, lechora, is dependent on this, whether implicit tonight mentioned by the buyer makes a real tonight that blows it up. Now that's what we've already discussed. Seems about Machlokas, but yes, last week we introduced a new factor. And what was last week's new factor that we introduced? A case where everyone agrees that the buyer makes implicit tonight and it's a good tonight. What's that case?
When it's obvious, so when
when
everyone.
obvious. Let's just repeat where in that case, go back to the Myrmecomus. See that picture over there? From last week's case, where everyone agrees implicit side by the buyer, normally it's a machlokas, but here everyone agrees. That's the case where the person built, bought lots of contracts to buy flats from the farmer because he said to everybody, he showed them, he has a big contract with the king that he's going to be able to say, sell it for 4 or 5 times the value. So I don't mind paying overpriced you. Okay. So, since the contract blew up with the king, because the king just said that he lost the war, he doesn't need the flats anymore. So therefore, he's got nowhere to sell it onto. So therefore, he wanted to break up all the deals with these farmers. And the answer was, the Nasibas gave us an answer over there. He said, yes, over here, there's no machlokes of any owner of the Kanano, because it's not just implicit tonight that you could be, could not, and with his words, implicit, that mean could be really important. It could not be important. It could, he wants the deal, even that he's saying these words, which is the machlokes of Rabbeinu Chanan Rabbeinu. Here, no one can argue that no one in the right mind is meshuga to pay such a price for such quantity unless they have the king's contract, which is 4 to 5. So it's not just implicit, it's such a deal, which is no, there's nowhere else, no other reason why he's doing this. It's actual tonight, lukula alma. Actual tonight, lukula. Now, my question is now, do we have the same reasoning by this loan case? This loan case over here, which we said, he bought the stock, he told him the source of payment is a loan, which he's going to get in 3 days' time, and then he didn't get the loan, it was denied. We said it's a machlokas lechora, but there's a case where there's a machlokas, when there's an implicit side from the buyer, there's a machlokas, and there's a case where everyone agrees that it is a tonight. Now, what's this case of the loan? Is it the machlokas case, or it's a case where everyone agrees? Which one does it fit into?
Machlokas case.
Okay. Explain why it's the machlokas case today, just so everyone can understand and agree with you. I agree with you. Why is this the machlokas case and not a case where everyone agrees?
Because it's conceivable that someone would do a business transaction even if the loan won't go through. He'll pay a higher rate and get a loan from someone else, use his credit card, he'll ask his in-laws. There are other reasonable ways that this could happen. That's not the
case. It's not like the king case. The king case, there's no logic behind the deal at all, besides he's got this king in the back pocket, which he shows everybody. 4 to 5, man, no right man will do this deal unless you've got the king in your pocket. And you've got no king, there was no deal. That's no other explanation. Here, yeah, he's saying, I've got the source of payment in this loan, and again, in 3 days' time. Okay, it's tonight, the same. Does that mean he's going to block the deal? Maybe he'll rush, like you said, to somebody else. He'll find some other person to give him a loan at that moment. So therefore, it's maybe it's tonight, maybe not. That's where it's a machlokas, Rabbeinu Chanoro and Rabbeinu Yoyona. And it's not going to be a case where everyone agrees. So lechore here, we're going to stay with a machlokas. And if you stay with a machlokas, then we're going to come back to our case. Who's going to win the case? Who's going to win the case? In such a case, who's going to win the case when there's a machlokas?
Money stays where it is.
The money will have to stay where it is. The money will stay where it is in such a case. If the machlokas is the money in the eyes of the Sefer Chumas, in the eyes of the Sefer Chumas, the money will stay where it is. But in the eyes of the Nesivas, then we'll say, until you prove there's a condition, you have to pay. So then we'll have a machlokas achronim, whether the money stays wherever it is, and still the buyer doesn't need to pay. Or do we say over there, in such a case, you have to pay until you prove there's a condition. And that will halachically depend on what basin you need to go, because it's not a machlokas which will create a sophic that everyone agrees is a machlokas. Everyone agrees it's a sophic. It's not everyone agrees it's a sophic. Different body didn't go with Sefer Chumas and with the explanation over there of the Sefer Chumas, and some Boti Din will go with the Nesivas over there. So therefore, depends which basin you go. Some Boti Din will say, like the Nesivas, like in Bnei Barak, the Chazanish Paskins with the Nesivas, and Bnei Barak, the Boti Din will say that until you prove there's a condition, you have to pay. Not like last week where everyone agreed the sales off, because it's obvious there's a tonight. Okay? So that's what we're going to say over here. Now, that's where we're holding. I'm going to ask, yes, Danny? You want to say so? Okay. You don't say. Fine. So now, let's go to another case, and we'll see whether things slightly change, or there's a new idea we're going to introduce with this other case, and see where this takes us. Let's go back to our Monolochomus and see what this case tells us. What's this case?
Can I ask a fundamental question?
Of course. You can always ask them.
Why do we totally ignore the requirement of Tanai Kafel and all of these things?
Because if there's, it's Sata, we've got Gemara there. If there's cases where we ignore. When there's a Umdana to Mukhach, that there's a Tanai, that it replaces the necessary needs to make a Tanai Kafel. Tanai Kafel generally is only by Kaka, and even by Kaka, depends who makes it. But when there's an Umda Mukhuch, we don't need it. The classic case is selling all my property to go to Eretz Israel, and he doesn't make any Tanai Kofel over there, nothing over there. And nevertheless, he said there is a Tanai because the Umda Mukhuch replaces the need of Tanai Kofel. So sometimes the Umdunas, the obvious intentions, doesn't need the Tanai Kofel.
So these cases are considered umdana de buchach?
If it's, yes, it's by his word. Sometimes it's without his words, there's obviously no umdana, but the words themselves explain enough information over there to make an umdana de buchach because of his words. So therefore, that's the discussion between Rabbeinu Chanan and Rabbeinu Yonah. What type of words are necessary to make such an umdana de buchach? These type of words, everyone agrees, is good enough for the seller. For the buyer, that's a discussion over here. These type of level of words to make, is it good enough to make ones a move? Yeah, that's the discussion. That's the longest behind what's going on in this picture over here. So now, let's go back to our Mahabukamas and see the following case. So you see in the picture over there, there's a refrigerator. So obviously this child is about a refrigerator. Just before Pesach, Reuven refrigerator started making a lot of noise. It was working, but it was making a lot of rattling noise. So he calls in his local guy to come and see what's going on, to see if there's a problem. Obviously, there's some sort of problem. So he comes in. he checks out the refrigerator. After a bit of time, he tells us, I've got a bit of bad news. This refrigerator is on its way out. It may last 3 or 4 days. It won't last the whole of Pesach. He's going to just pack out. Okay. So what are you going to do? So Reuven speaks to his wife. I said, can't take chances for Pesach. It may not. It won't last the Pesach. Who says we can buy things on Pesach? So Reuven turns around and says, look, what do you advise to get as a replacement? What type of refrigerator? He said, you know what? I sell refrigerators. And I got the refrigerator for you. Okay. So he buys a new refrigerator. And of course, on Pesach, it's good to have two around. So he got his new refrigerator beforehand. And the second one, he also used on Pesach, hoping it will last as long as it can, and it's good to have extra space on Pesach. And this sin happens. They lasted the whole Pesach. And not only that, a week after Pesach, it was still going strong. So he called in another guy, and another guy checked out the refrigerator, the old one. He said, yeah, there's just a bit of rattling because there's a loose screw. There's nothing really wrong with it. Oh, so now Reuven goes back to the original guy and he's not complaining about the call-out charge. That's not what he's interested in. He says, take back your refrigerator. Take back your refrigerator. I have no use for it. The only reason I bought it, as you know, was because the old one was on the way out, as you told me. So therefore, take it back. So the seller said to him, look, my opinion in the old one wasn't correct, Ms. Sainzer. But a sale when the contract of I sold you the bridge rates is a new deal. And there we didn't discuss only this break. He didn't make any conditions. He didn't make any to annoy him. So therefore, the sales are going to say, you know what? I'll give you back money for the call-up charge, which I charged you for looking at the old fridge rate. That I give back. But the sales are sale. Now, what does the Olon say about this? Here we have a case.
Oh, that's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. He was bought to him to begin with, so he for sure can't claim the sale as good. There's a shaila if somebody else told him that, if he could even claim the sale as good. But in this case, where the guy himself was the one that fooled him into buying it, he can't claim the sale.
Listen to what the seller says. The seller says, yeah, but when we came to discussing which refrigerator, what refrigerator, and choosing it, there was no discussion over that. I'm only buying to
condition. Yes, there was. I asked you why.
I'm buying it on condition that your analysis of the old one is correct and all that. You didn't say that.
No, you have to be taken in context. This is all one long conversation. You came to my house, told me I need a new fridge. And you know that's why I bought a new fridge. And you
I know that's why you bought a fridge. But Professor, some people have two fridges in the house. Maybe you decided. Maybe, look, some people don't just buy fridges. Some people just say, look, the first guy comes and gives his, I know what this is. I'll get a second opinion.
You decided not to get a second opinion.
Because you said, look, it's good always to have two fridges. Maybe it's good to have two fridges.
No. Maybe it was in the middle of Purim, but on Erev Pesach, it doesn't work like
that. Matzis just knows in his bones that it's no good. But he hasn't really explained it. I mean, I'm putting up a good description of the fence over here by the seller. You haven't really attacked me in any logical halachic analysis. From your words, you're just saying feelings, haven't you?
Yes, because the seller created the condition.
Okay, maybe you got a tiny of mazik, as the Menachem would say. Maybe you got a tiny of mazik. I was causing you to spend money. But what was it about the sale?
It may be even mekachtois because I bought it based on misinformation that you gave me.
Yeah. Not bad information about the new one. It's bad information about the old one.
I needed a new one.
You can find the damages, which was what Menachem would say.
Menachem
would say damages. Yeah, not sale at all. Boruch. Boruch wants to say something.
The seller is an expert, and he has a higher degree of responsibility because he's an expert. And his whole, the buyer's opinion was all based on what the expert told him.
Okay. Boruch is saying he's got a good claim of damages. Because he was an expert and he's supposed to know what he's doing and his advice to spend money on something else. So it's all logic and damages. But it's nothing to do with Megatov. I'm discussing the actual
Megatov. What Baruch is saying, but you don't need to come on to that because there's a fraudulent sale here.
Okay, let me ask something.
Yeah.
Did anybody inquire how long he knew the seller? It sounded to me like the seller was a regular, he regularly took care of this buyer's items, or certainly the refrigerator.
Yeah, you're right, Malcolm. He's a regular appliance repair guy. That's who he used to call in if there's problems in the appliances. That's what he used. He never bought anything from him.
Because to me, what's relevant here is if he was a regular, you would tend to rely on his opinion. You've used them more than once, it means you trust him. What the Dayan is suggesting is that, okay, so that transaction was whatever. He might have done it deliberately or made a mistake. Assuming he made a mistake, which he's entitled to do, he entered into a new contract with the buyer. And the buyer could easily have said, because it's buyer beware, that's generally the principle. The buyer easily could have said, listen, I'm buying this because I rely on you. You're my regular guy. and I'm buying from you. I'm not even checking out prices with anyone else. So that proves that he was relying on this person as an honest person. And therefore, there's a good shot to say it was a good contract. He was still honest. He made a mistake, mistoma, but the guy trusted him. If he didn't trust him, then he could have gone and double-checked, double opinion, gotten the refrigerator from someone else, and said to him, listen, I'm going to get the fridge from someone else. Now check my refrigerator again. Is it just a screw? I mean, he didn't know it was. Okay, so I tend to agree that's a separate contract.
Okay, so Menachem is actually arguing it matters, Baruch Hashem, we're back to our normal status in our share, and Menachem is supporting that the sale's a good sale. He's not even damages, he's getting mistaken. All this mistaken touch of it. Very good.
I want to defend Matas.
Very happy. That's awesome. Okay.
I want to defend Rav Matas, even at risk of going against the Kohen. But I want to suggest that we had two possible types of cases. We have the umdana case, which results in machlokas about the buyer, and we had the mitzias of an anansadi, where the tznai is obvious to everyone, and then everyone would agree. In this case, because the seller, it doesn't have to do any guesswork. He knows why he's buying. There's no suffix here. So it makes it ke'ilu like the case of an anansadi.
That's what I wanted to get to. So the Torah is saying, it's not like Martin's is saying it's a claim of damages, even though he doesn't want to say the words, but all his directional feelings is talking about damages. And Menachem is saying it's all damages, mistake. And everyone seems to be agreeing. Martin's and Menachem, even though they don't like to agree, they agree there's nothing wrong with the sale, and Martin can't explain why. Just got in his bones. He just says, can't be. And Eric, I saw Eric's words. He said that the guy's a trickster. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not an expert. Okay. But Tuli said, let's talk about the sale. Is there a tanai in this sale? I'm only buying this because the old one is broken. Is that tanai? Is there implicit tanai? So maybe. Is it such a strong tanai that it's like the Flaxfield case of the king? Or is it like the regular cases of the wine, I'm going to make a lot of profit over there, where it's a tanai? I don't know if it's an onto the mukhuk or it's mukhuk. So the Tuli is saying it is mukhuk.
It's better than the king. I'll explain to you why it's better than the king. Because the king, he doesn't articulate to the guy that if not for the king, I wouldn't be doing this. Here, everybody knows. He knows exactly why he's doing it. The guy tells him, you need a French. I happen to sell for
you. But I'm totally saying that it's absolutely, like the king case, maybe stronger than the king case. Under the Rukh, there's a condition involved. Now, I'm not so sure. In a fashion, you could say it's not as bad as the king is. What way could you describe? I'll give you the opportunity to give your opinion. Try and think, in what way it doesn't reach the level of the king case? Doesn't exactly reach the level of the king case. Because there's a certain way that king case is worse.
In the king case, the deal he makes is illogical with everybody else, unless he's buying, right? He's paying 2x on the flax, right? Here, at the end of the day, he got a new fridge. Okay, so he's going to need a new fridge at some point in his life, right? It's not like
very good. It's the deal itself is illogical. There's no what the deal. Even if they don't know about the king, people will say the deal is illogical. They're seeing the deal. Whereas here, the fridge case, the deal's not illogical. It's very logical to have two fridges in the house, maybe, and to buy a fridge if you've got one which is old and you want to have an update one or bigger one. The actual deal, without knowing any facts, is not illogical. So it's not inbuilt to the actual case itself that the whole thing doesn't make sense, which is what with the king's case only. Well, so it's such a matter, not as the level of the king case.
Depending on what point of history you're talking about, there were plenty of wars waging at any given time in Europe that he could have not gotten another customer for.
Ah, okay, that I don't need to answer that question, I don't think. Okay. So let us see if we've got a source for this type of case, because we haven't got really a source on a king case, because it could be much worse than king case, as Stephen said. Okay, so let's go back to our Mara Makomas and see if we can find a source for this type of case. So we'll move down a bit. The Gemara Bava Basra says like this. Amar Rava. Rava says, Haman dekimu chamra adata demasei la matalei the favata risulto. Okay. He took some wine. I don't, when, having explained why he took this wine, Reuven took wine from Shimon with intention to go to Vata, which is Zulfat, and which is a very good place to sell the wine because you can make lots of money for that wine. At the Mati Hosomzo, before you're able to get there, it became cheap and you won't make money. Now, Din Utama Kabbalah. The halacha is the one that he has to set the loss. Now, who has to set the loss? What's the relationship here of the guy giving the wine, Reuven giving the wine to Shimon? What's their relationship? And who has to set the loss? So look at the Mukhi Yosef. He explains like this. Firstly, the Rashbam, and then all of the Shon explain, the one who has to set the loss is the one who originally owned the wine. He has to set the loss. Now, what's the relationship? Now, I tell you a bit of a secret. Rabbeinu Hanan, the Mukhi Yosef, is in the school of Rabbeinu Yonah. He held a Rabbeinu Yonah that if a buyer makes an implicit condition, it's not considered a condition because he didn't make a tzlai kofel. That's his shita. He goes to Rabbeinu Kamadu if it's a buyer. So he should over say over here, implicit conditions are no good. So let's see what he says. He says, Hi Pirushe, Achrina, the Bible Mecha, we're talking about Reuven selling wine to Shimon. Okay. And Shimon is saying, I'm buying this wine to go to Yank Zulbat in order to get a cheap deal, a good deal. I'll be able to sell a lot of wine for cheap, expensive, and I make a lot of money. So, he said, well, how can you break the deal? We say the guy who sold the wine is going to lose them. So how can you break such a deal? Must be conditioned. So his first teretz, he says, we're talking about, even though it's not written in the Gemara, even though it's not written in the Gemara, we're talking about where he made a famous Tanai Kofel. He says, you know what? I'm only buying it, and that is, I can go to Ulfat, I can sell it for expensive, and then I'm buying it. If I go there and I can't sell it for expensive, but I'm not buying it, he makes a profit like awful. Okay, so he makes a profit like awful, and it doesn't work out. Of course, it's a condition of the sale, sells off. That's his first one. Now look at his second answer. Inami. So Omele, Bedera Kapeta, all he says, not like awful, but he says, Bedera Kapeta, like, his words are serious. You know that he's serious. He says, he doesn't like tell you a story like we've been discussing up to, no, I'm buying this. Why I'm buying this? Because I'm going to go over there, make lots of money. Doesn't speak like that. He says, I'm buying this? You know why I'm buying this? This is an opportunity to make money. And I'm buying this because, you know why? Only because there's expensive wine over there. I would understand, be able to sell it there for a fortune. So he speaks not in the fashion of a story, but he speaks in a fashion that this is what the whole deal is dependent on. His expressions imply it. And therefore, even without Tanai Kofel, there's a Tanai that breaks up the deal. So here we have a chiddush that even according to the Manda Omer, normally says implicit tanais are no good. You have to make tanai kofel's the buyer. There's a case that he agrees that you don't need to make a tanai kofel when he doesn't speak in a story fashion, but it's obvious from the way he's speaking that this is part of the deal itself by his expressions and the way he's stressing things. Okay? So that's another case, so to speak, where everyone agrees. But this is not the King case. King case, he also agrees. Here's another case where he would agree that there's a Tanai where I'm making a side offer, where it's not speaking just in a story fashion, he's actually speaking in a fashion that this is, you need to know this information because this is part of the deal. And then I agree that it's a tonight, hopefully, he says those things. Now, coming back to our case, does it, we said it doesn't necessarily fit in the case of the king, where, as Stephen said, pointed out clearly, yeah, there's a super deal, and it's not necessarily a super deal. But do we have this case, at least on Bottle Buster, to say he also agrees, in this case, that everyone agrees there's a tonight? Have we got at least over here this scenario over here, where it's not just a story, it's definitely a condition of the sale where everyone agrees? Have we got that factor over here?
No kapeda here. There's no derech kapeda here, because he only told him at the beginning, but you still have this far that he might want a new fridge anyway eventually.
So David is saying there's no kapeda. Why? Because there's a timeline. There's a time gap. Does anyone agree to that? Everyone agree that there's no kapeda here because there's a bit of a gap between the two.
There's about to die. There's kapeda. He knows that.
Baruch is saying, for sure there's kapeda, because Erev Pesach, and says terrible lachatz as he speaks to his wife, and you can't be out of the fridge, and therefore there's a kapeda that the deal is because there's a lack of a fridge here. That's Baruch. Which one are you going to choose? Everyone's quiet over here, surprisingly. Is there kapeda or not kapeda? That's basically the question. Kapeda. Okay, I'll tell you what the Beis Din paskens. The Beis Din paskens, and this is the bottom line, if you believe it or not in this case, the Beis Din paskens, that there is kapeda. Similar to what Matis said at the beginning, but Matis was just using it out of Hagosha. Matis was using it out of claims of damages and fraudulence, which Nachum defended him. Of course, everyone makes mistakes, not damages. But, okay, even if it's a mistake, but there's room for kapeta. What's kapeta mean? What does kapeta mean? Kapeta means, what's the factor that Mukhi says is kapeta? Kapeta means is that there's an element that's not part of the actual deal. There's facts out there that's not part of the deal, but you know that these facts are intrinsic why there's a deal. That's what, if that information is given over to the mocher, the seller, that there are other factors part out of the deal, which are intrinsic for why there's a deal, and he knows it as a kapeda for it, so that makes it a condition. So therefore, it doesn't matter, like what David said, look, he knew a few minutes ago, but now when he's selling, the time that doesn't matter. It's just we want to know, at the time of the sale, does the seller have information in his head that there is definitely a reason why this deal is taking place and it's dependent on that? Does he have that information, or he just thinks it could be, it could not, it's a sale? And the answer is, from the Hagosha we saw from the Matis beginning, definitely the seller knows. Now, how do they know? Because they even basically even asked him in Beis Din. Yeah, and sometimes people tell the truth in Beis Din. Yeah, people, Baruch Hashem, do tell the truth in Beis Din. And the seller says, yeah, it was obvious to me. I mean, not many people buy two fridges. And it's definitely obvious to me why he was buying the second fridge, because he thought the first one was out. But at the end of the day, he didn't say it tonight. So it means he definitely felt, and as everyone else here, definitely much as beginning felt, yeah, that's the reason why he's buying, because of this situation. And therefore, since you have that, it's a kapeta type of knowledge, and therefore there's no mark locus, there's a tonight, and it blows up, not because of claim of damages, blows up because the sale was based on a condition, and the condition wasn't built, and therefore you can give back the refrigerator. So therefore, you can give back the refrigerator under these circumstances.
So I have a problem, a little bit tangential, but it bothers me a lot that this guy, it wasn't as if it was just, he made a small mistake here. He made a huge mistake. There's a huge difference between, you know, a fridge which is going to die within a few days and a screw. Right? So...
yeah, I'm sure Eric can back, maybe... give his personal opinion whether that's a huge mistake or not a huge mistake. Yeah, sometimes people do make huge mistakes, not on purpose. Remember, he's his regular customer, and they have a good relationship with each other. He's not somebody that's coming off the streets, and I don't really know him, and maybe he's going to do me in. We have a long relationship after. They agree with each other that he didn't do it on purpose. It's a mistake. Maybe it was a huge mistake. Maybe he should go back to school to learn a bit because of the mistake. But it was a mistake. Everyone agrees there's no Kavana intentional reasoning over here to make such a disinformation. Obviously, that's not what's discussing over here. Okay, maybe discussion is a huge mistake. Little mistake, mass mistake. Okay, now Eric will have to tell us whether it's a huge mistake or not a huge mistake. But intentional.
Well, I unfortunately have quite a bit of personal experience with this recently. So there are times when the guy could come and it will be like a fluke reading he'll get that just shows the compressor's going when it's really not. So it could be that it was a legitimate mistake.
Okay, so now we have Matis. I'm not sure Matis is qualified to. I just have a scenario in his particular scenario that sometimes a person could be thrown, and that's what happened. But condition is not to do with negligence or not negligence on purpose, nothing to do that. If there's a condition, there's a condition, and therefore the sale was nullified. So we've sorted out that case. Okay. So we sorted all our cases. Let's move forwards now. Forward and onwards. Yeah. So let's go back to our normal occurrence and introduce our. Oh, Eric wants to say it. It's more than a huge mistake. He made what? I didn't hear it.
I'll read Eric's whole thing. First, he wrote, "I don't understand. The seller misled the buyer, either purposely or because he's influenced too much by his desire to sell fridges. Either way, he misled him. Why is this anything to do with a deal and conditions?"
And then agreed. That's a claim of damages. Okay, that's the answer. Claim of damages. We're not discussing that. But yeah, okay, but everyone tried to defend him. But nothing done. Okay, carry on. I can't hear you.
It is more than a huge mistake. He made an impossible definite prediction. He did not give any explanation as to the problem with the fridge. The fridge was working.
Okay.
Just a minute, before the Dayan steps in, I'm sitting and listening, and I'm trying to understand, do we have a buyer here who is retarded? Do we have a buyer? Now, if you want to say that the buyer was under enormous time pressure, that he couldn't have gotten a second opinion, because one other fact is missing. One of the things I would have liked to have known is, had this refrigerator made this noise once before? And it went fine. And now it's making it again.
Okay, I'm to assume that didn't happen. It was a new event that was happening. Okay, that we can assume.
I'm back to the question of the Besdin, why they held that way. Why didn't the buyer either get a second opinion, knowing he, just a minute, he also knew that this guy was selling
him. I remind you again, your wording and Mutter's wording tonight are negligence, damages. And, so that's, and here, we're not discussing that. We're talking about, even if he could have got a second opinion and he's stupid for not getting a second opinion. But at the end of the day, is there condition or not condition? Is there a positive or not a positive? The answer is yes, there's a positive. Even if you could get a second condition, there's still a positive and the deals are
off. How? And it's a...
Because it's obvious. It's obvious. As the seller himself said, I know why he's buying this.
Asma.
He may be stupid, but I know why he's buying it.
Yes,
because the thing is broken. So I know why he's breaking. I told him. Yes, I know why he's breaking. So therefore, it's obvious there's a condition. There's obvious there's a hot pod of a condition. Maybe he's a stupid guy and things like that. Maybe.
Rega, why is the burden only on the seller and not on the buyer?
There's no discussion here of dishonesty. There's no discussion of negligence. No discussion whether he made it on purpose. The discussion is the facts on the table where everyone agrees and whether they understood that this was a conditional a sale or not conditional sale. And the seller himself admits he understood that there was a condition over here in the sale. Definitely owns an advisor.
My last word on it. So what you're basically saying is the Besdin found that from the buyer's perspective, because he relied on the other fellow, it was total reliance. And if the other fellow was incorrect, what I was trying to suggest is once the buyer heard from the seller that he is also a seller of refrigerators, that should have put him on notice that maybe he got bad advice, maybe he's doing it on, I don't care how long he's known him. Why is the burden not on the buyer?
Again, at the last point I'm saying, and then we'll carry on. Again, those are words of a lawyer trying to put defense from damages or financial negligence. It has nothing to do whether the sale is implicit of a condition. I can make a sale and saying because it's going to rain tomorrow. It's got nothing to do with anything. Is there something here that the sale is dependent on? And we're saying, yes, there's definitely something here. Maybe it's stupid. Maybe he didn't need to do it and he should have just forget the whole sale stuff and he could have avoided the problem by getting something else in. That's not what we're discussing. Later, they didn't do that. He did a sale and it's implicit there is a reason for that sale, which is known to the seller as well. Okay, so let's carry on. At least let's start a little bit. On the next new topic, semi-topic, continuation. So let's go back to Mark McComas, Julie.
Well, we didn't go back to the loan case.
We finished the loan case, the Besdin Paskin. Oh, let's go back to the loan case. You're right. You're right. It reminds me. What's going to be with the loan case? The loan case, we don't have the king. We don't have the Tanai of the king. He went to the seller, bought stock, and I'm going to pay with 300,000 loan, which I'm getting in 3 days' time. Fine. That's how I'm going to pay. And the deal's not a silly deal. And we haven't got the king's case where everyone agrees. So I want to know, do we at least have the other case of the refrigerator case? Do we have that where we say everyone knows why there's a sale over here and therefore there's a condition or not? Do we have that fact over here where everyone will be in agreement?
No.
There's two cases where there's agreements. The king case and the refrigerator, we call it the refrigerator case. King case we don't have by the loan. Do we have by the loan the refrigerator case or not?
No.
So Tony said, no. Okay.
It's just a way. It's a way to encourage the deal, but the source of money could be elsewhere. He's saying, "I'm having a loan. You should have assurance in this deal. So I'm going to be giving you money in 3 days to put the loan in here."
Okay.
So there are other ways to get money.
So Baruch is saying, "No, it's also like totally. It's like just a bit of a story, but not luchach. That there's a whole reasoning behind the sale. Is the loan? So therefore." Seems to be uniform over here. We don't have the loan scenario, in the loan scenario, even the second case where they agree, not only the king case we don't have the refrigerator. Everyone agrees to that?
I don't think it's like the king case, but it does sound like the wine case with Rava.
Yeah, so you're saying it's like the refrigerator case. Why are you saying like it?
It's like the guy in the wine case, he knows what he wants to do with it, and that's the reason that he's going. So here also, he knows that he's banking on this loan coming in, and that's why he's doing it.
Okay. So, okay. No one else got this opinion? Let me say. So what did Besdin do over there? So the Besdin said... So the buyer, this is what Menachem wants to do. Let's cross-examine the buyer sometimes, you know. So let's cross-examine the buyer over here. So repeat over here the exact words that happened when you asked for the contract and you explained that you got this loan. So they heard the story. And you know what? Let me say it over in two ways. And you tell me, is there a difference in the way that you said? So he says like this. Look, he comes out, he buys the stock, and he says, you know what? you know how I'm going to pay for this? I'm going to pay because I've got a loan that's coming in 3 days' time. And that's going to be my source of money that I'm going to pay for you. Okay, that's one way of explaining the conversation. Another way is to express it like this. He says, like to him, he says, please give me the stock. You know that I haven't come to you for many months to get stock because I've had a really big problem of cash flow over there. I haven't been able to really get hold of money, but I found a source where I can get the money in 3 days' time that someone's given me, promised me a loan, and I'm able finally to make a deal.
Why doesn't he wait till he gets the money?
So the guy said, Poseidon, and he gave him the stock. We're not asking what he should have wanted. Now, is there different results in the way the first way is said over or the second way is said over? Will there be a different result?
Yeah, huge difference.
A huge difference. What will be the result? If you say it the first way, is it
considered? If you say the first way, so it's not muchach of anything. Say the first way. So stop, I've got a loan coming and I may have other things coming and, you know, it's not, no one's looking at it as a tanai. Masha Enke in the second case, where Dafka says, I have not been able to come because I can't get money. I have not, without money, I can't do it. And Pito, I just finally found a place to get money. If that one ends up falling through, then that should be clear to everyone.
Very good. And they then turned to the seller and said, is that the facts, the real facts? And he said, yes, that was the facts. So they paskened that this is like the case of Rava and that Ritterator case where there is a Tanai in such a case. There is hapodah of the deal of the information outside and therefore it's off. Therefore it's off in such a case. Very good. But here we can, very interesting, we have a case where it depends how things were said over. The same facts can be expressed in one way, another way, and make a difference to the scenario of whether it's considered a Tanai or not in the Kula Alma or not. Okay.
In every case, if the seller admits that he was pretty sure that the buyer meant it as a tanai, that he knows this guy, even if he said it in the first way, but he knows this guy has no money and like there's no way he's gonna be able to pay for this without the loan. Like if he knew that, he admits it. Is the sale always off? Are we just trying to figure out what the seller thought?
So therefore, let's say the buyer doesn't say anything, right. But the seller just knows all the information himself. Obviously, the sale's a good sale under those circumstances, even although he knows, you know, this guy can't buy it unless he gets a loan and know all the information. Still, if nothing is spoken about at all at the time of the deal, then, of course, the deal's a good deal because it was unconditional. The buyer didn't want to make a condition under those circumstances, even although to the seller it's obvious that the deal is really dependent on a certain factor. That doesn't in itself make a condition. There has to be some sort of verbal expression of that information in some form at the time of the transaction to explain that what he means over here, there's condition. Without that, just because you know the knowledge would not make a condition automatic in such a case. Okay, so we just got enough time to introduce the next case for something to you to think about to next week, at least. So if you go back to Margogos, at least see the picture over there. And we'll hear your opinions next week over this case. Over here, we have a chazan. A chazan, he's hired to be a chazan when? On the Yom Ron. And he gets big money, this chazan, for his job. Maisa Shohei Kachman. So he came in, he was the chazan, and he just started HaMelech, okay? And in the middle of Kaddish, just before Baruch Hu, somebody shouted out, Atzala, Atzala, Atzala! And the chazan looked around, obviously he stopped that stage, and no one was coming forward. And he's an Atzala guy. So, of course, Pekach Nefesh ran to do his job and duty. And he dealt with the situation at hand. There. Of course, it took some time. And in the meantime, they moved the person to the Ezra's Doshim area. And he was dealing with it. was dealing with the Pekach Nefesh thing and was going longer than expected until the ambulances came. Yeah. And so what the shul did, it says, look, they asked, I think they saw that it was coming out. And even when the ambulances came, the chazan was asked to come with the ambulance. Why? Because he's part of Mazar. And he was one of the experts in this field of the in Mazar. So therefore he had to go with the ambulance. Now they got replacement chazan. And the question is, does the chazan get paid his fees under those circumstances? Does he get his fees or not? An onus happens, does he get his fees or not? That's a discussion we're going to handle next week and also bring other cases, Mr. Chair. Have a wonderful week. Think about it. Have your own opinions about the scenario. And Mr. Chair will discuss it. Beautiful share. Have a wonderful week. Healthy week. And see you next time, Mr. Chair.
How's Moshe Dovid doing?
Baruch Hashem, stronger every day. Stronger every day.